He, Christ, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation in this Lenten afternoon that we focus on hands of the Passion looks at another set of hands, hands of repentance. As recorded in the Gospel writer Luke, the 18th chapter, we read verses 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus told this parable to certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. Two men went up to the temple courts to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself like this: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. However, the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even lift up his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of our Lord, and let us pray. Dear Lord, may our study of your word and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of Christ crucified and risen, checking your email, grabbing a book and turning the page, opening the door, closing the door, what do all these activities have in common? Other than the fact that they might be everyday activities, what they have in common is that they involve frequently the use of our hands. And when we think about the use of hands and how important they are in activities, we tie them in this Lenten season also to the events and activities of our Savior's suffering and death. We have had opportunity in this Lent season 2021 to look at hands of the Passion, hands of Caiaphas, of Judas, of Peter, of the soldiers. And this afternoon, through Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we look at the hands of two men in prayer. When we think about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's a well-known parable. And as we focus on the words of Jesus this afternoon, teaching us a lesson, let's focus on the hands of these men in prayer in their worship, but then tie those hands to the attitude of their hearts. May the Holy Spirit teach us through this section of our Lenten meditation to have true hands of repentance. Jesus gives an earthly story with a spiritual meaning, an earthly lesson, as he talks about two men going up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray for worship, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And they both begin their prayer with the same word, God. But the similarity ends right there. The Pharisees were known as the spiritually upright people of the Jewish culture. They were the ones that kept the laws perfectly. They were morally right. And so the Pharisee in Jesus' lesson begins his prayer, God, I thank you. And up to this point, the prayer sounds beautiful, doesn't it? How often didn't we learn as children, our parents taught us to include thanks for God's blessings in our prayers. And as parents and grandparents, we teach our children and grandchildren to do the same, to say thank you to God for his blessings in our lives. So if the Pharisee prayed the prayer, God, I thank you, amen, it would be a beautiful prayer, wouldn't it? But it did not end there. It continued on. And by his words going on, the Pharisee showed that he really didn't have a genuine thankfulness in his heart or in his hands of prayer. He continues, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all my income. So the Pharisee, in his hands of prayer and in his pride, was showing how he kept the law. He wasn't a robber, he kept the seventh commandment. He was an adulterer, he kept the sixth commandment. And in fact, he kept all the commandments, but there was more than that. The Pharisees went above and beyond God's moral law. They kept their own laws, which they added to the law given to Moses. And he even points out some facts to show how good his life was. I fast twice a week. The law of Moses required that the Jewish people should fast once a year. He fasted twice a week. And he gave a tenth of everything that he had, whether he had earned it or not. So perhaps to the other worshipers in the temple courts, as they were hearing the prayer of the Pharisee and his hands in prayer, he probably thought, this is a righteous man. And he was looked up to by the other worshipers. But what was beyond the surface of his words? What was in his mind and what was in his heart? What was his attitude? The gospel writer Luke doesn't record for us the attitude and motivation of the Pharisee. We can only speculate. Perhaps he was so full of pride in himself that he really didn't know what he was praying. Or perhaps he felt so inferior that he would pray about all the good things that he had done to cover up the good things that he had not done before the Lord. In this season of Lent, it is a season of repentance in which we acknowledge our sinfulness before the Lord, as we did at the beginning of our worship service, and hear the announcement that God has fully forgiven us through Christ Jesus, our Savior. But the Pharisee, in his prayer and in his words, found no need to be saved. He was sufficient in himself and in his own goodness. And in the end, he went away empty-handed. Now, as we go on in Jesus' lesson, and we imagine the worshipers there, they would probably hardly notice this man in the distance, who would not even lift up his eyes to the heavens, the tax collector who was beating his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Quite a contrast, isn't it, of hands in prayer? The hands of the tax collector are hands of repentance. He didn't, in his prayer and in his words, make a list of all the good things he had done for God, to hold them up before the Lord as his own goodness? No, he only looked at the mirror of God's law and saw the ugliness of his sin. And it prompted him to pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It was a prayer that came from a genuine heart of faith, and Jesus recognized that when he said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, who's had hands in prayer of repentance, went home justified or forgiven rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus didn't point out a specific class to whom he was speaking this earthly lesson with the spiritual meaning, to the Pharisees or to the tax collector. Luke records for us these words at the beginning. Jesus told this parable to certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. As we think about the crowd of worshipers and try to picture them in Jesus' parable, can you identify in your life today people who may be like the Pharisee, with hands of pride in prayer? Perhaps a classmate who's always talking about him or herself. Or maybe a coworker that's always telling you how to do your job better. Or perhaps a friend who sends the annual Christmas letter and all that it is a list of great things that he or she and their family has done. But when we begin to look at the crowd of worshipers there, do we identify ourselves? For every time that we try to think about other people that may be better than ourselves or sound better than ourselves, are we making ourselves better than them? And when we criticize them for looking down at us, are we in turn looking down at them in judgment? We may not, like the Pharisee in prayer, call out other people in worship and say, I'm better than they are. But does God have a right to judge our hearts for wrongly and incorrectly judging others? It is easy for us to have hands of pride in prayer like the Pharisee, but may the Lord direct us to imitate the hands of repentance of the tax collector and say, from a genuine heart of sorrow, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And then, when we have such hands and hearts of repentance, then look to the other person in this parable setting, the one who spoke the parable, Jesus Christ. For if there ever was a person who had a right to be proud, it is Jesus Christ, who is perfectly obedient to his earthly parents for all of his life, perfectly obedient without sin to the will of his heavenly Father. And he did that not for himself, to boast about his life. Everything that he did for me and for you and for the world. And if there ever was a person who had a reason not to be humble, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the eternal, almighty Son of God, who knows all things and rules all things, and left his earthly throne to take on the form of a servant, your substitute, my substitute, and the substitute for the world, living a perfect, sinless life in place of our sin-filled life. And then going to the cross to make full payment for all of our sins. Everything he did for you and for me and for the world. Because of God's mercy, for which we pray with hands of repentance, God answers in his mercy. He gives you the gift of prayer so that you can talk to God in any place, at any time, with any words. And know, as he promises, he will hear and he will answer according to his good and gracious will. Because of God's mercy, for which we pray with hands of repentance, God does show his mercy in giving us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his sinless life and by his atoning death on the cross, he gives us a place next to him in his abiding presence forever in heaven. Because of God's mercy for which we pray, God gives you his wonderful supper, the Lord's table, in which he gives you the forgiveness of sins through the blood that he shed on the cross and the body that he offered there. Because of God's mercy for which we pray with hands of repentance, you never have to have the burden of guilt because you've been set free from it through the blood that Jesus shed, and you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of God's mercy, you never have to be afraid because Jesus promises that he is with you always to the very end of the age. And because of God's mercy, you know where you are going. When you have to walk that valley of the shadow of death, you are going to heaven because of God's mercy in Christ Jesus. So you can leave this Lenten worship this afternoon knowing that you are in good hands. You are in God's hands. And Jesus tells you about his gracious hands when he says in John chapter 10, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands." Yes, our hands of repentance and faith are firmly in the hands of our good shepherd. Amen.